great job this morning, right? Amen. Our worship team was amazing today. Give it up for them. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to get right into the Word of God this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 through 3. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 through 3. And then we'll have a couple more fun things. I know many of you, I want to first of all say thank you to those of you who went over to the new building to start the cleaning process. We want to say thank you to Cecilia and her team. So if you were there cleaning yesterday or if you were over here packing yesterday, would you do me a favor and stand so we can acknowledge you, because we certainly appreciate all of your hard work. Come on, Rohi, give our cleaning, packing crew a round of applause. Oh, y'all can do better than that. They worked hard yesterday. Amen. Thank you guys so very much. I have to really thank our leadership team, because a part of the conversation about this move is that we can do the move, but we can't do the move if it all depends on Pastor Shana, because one person can't do all of this. And the team has stepped up tremendously. Jonathan and Cecilia and Lucy and Joe are heading our cleaning and packing crew, and it is just phenomenal how they're organizing everything, getting everything done. So we thank God for them and for all of you who are volunteering. If you have not volunteered or signed up to volunteer, if last week you didn't get a chance to sign up and offer whatever resources you have, you can see Miss Lucy. Do you have a sign up at the back? You'll have a Miss Lucy will have a sign up at the back table back there at the end of service. You can see her and sign up. You might say, well, I don't clean. That's okay. You don't have to clean. Maybe you like to paint. Well, I don't paint. Well, you can put some toys in a box. Anybody can do that, you know. There's always something we can offer. And if you're saying, you know, I'm not physically able to do that, then you can offer your prayer support, because prayer is vital to this move. So if there's nothing else you can do, if you physically cannot move or do things like that, just say, I can pray. I thank God for you guys, because I got reports back and pictures back of all of the hard work that you guys were doing. Thanks, Jonathan, for sending pictures. And I was blessed because we have had a marathon baseball weekend. So while we're doing this, I still have to be a mother. And this is probably, God is so funny, because this is the busiest season in our life. Every summer is baseball season, and every summer it gets busier. And this summer it was crazy. We've been to 8 games in the last 2 days, I think. 2 or 3. Like, my kids have played in 8 games in the last 3 days. And it's still going. I don't know. It's amazing. But I thank God for a community of people. Kelsey's been helping me out. So when I can't go to one kid's game, she's been able to be there. So God is a good God. Somebody say amen. So you guys really, really don't know how much you mean to me and to this church. And we would not be able to do this without you. So it's only been a week. We just getting started, people. Some of y'all are like, it's only been a week. And then the cutest conversation happened on Facebook. One of the conversation was from someone was so excited. Love my church. Love the work we put in. Yay, Rohi's moving. And someone else that's a member of Rohi said, well, what church do you go to? Wait, who's moving? What? Because it's been such a quick announcement. You go on vacation and you come back. The church is moving. What's happening? So if you did not hear it already, we are moving. We're in the process of moving this month, and we need to be out of this building by the end of the month. We'll give you more details as we move into the first of August and how things work there. But for now, every Sunday, where do we meet? Right here, until we tell you different. Somebody say amen. Don't go to the new building. You ain't going to see nothing but dust and lights. Well, no dust no more. Amen. All right, so you guys, I gave you ample amount of time to get the scripture, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 through 3. And you can stay seated. Alex, you have that on the screen for us? All right. As he pulls that up, let's read our Bible affirmation. You have that? Stick your fingers in your Bible or in your electronic devices. Or don't stick your finger in your electronic device, but, you know, lift it high in the air. Let's say our Bible affirmation together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 through 3. Let's read that together. You guys ready? If you don't have the New King James Version, don't worry. The words will appear on your screen. If you have a different version, those are great versions out there. But for the sake of us reading together, we're going to read this one so that we don't sound like we're speaking in tongues together. Amen? All right, you guys ready? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Father, in the name of Jesus, on this very sensitive subject this morning, we ask that you would come in and bring revelation, bring light. Help us to understand your word. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Move me aside. Holy Spirit, come in and speak a word that is life-changing, transformative, and answers questions in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. So we are in our summer series called Skeptics Welcome. And today's topic was originally scheduled to be taught last week, but I couldn't teach it last week because the children were in service. So I want to give a precursor because a lot of people listen to our podcast. If you're listening to this podcast or if you're here today and you have children in the room, you might want to make sure that you cover their ears, or maybe this message, you listen to it first before you allow them to hear it. The topic today is one that culturally has become extremely, extremely popular. And I believe that the church has not addressed this question in a very strong, positive, loving manner. And so we're going to try to do that today. Our title today, the question that we're answering today, and this was the second most requested question that people put on their surveys about what they wanted to discuss this subject, was, are people born gay? Are people born gay? And this is really an interesting question because there's so many transformations or things and changes that have happened in our culture just in the last 30 years. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but Ellen DeGeneres, she used to have a sitcom series back in 1997 called Ellen. And she was the first openly gay lead character in a television series. Now, I don't know if any of y'all remember that episode, but there was an episode where she got a huge amount of backlash, in particular from southern markets, the Bible Belt states, and their ABC's affiliates, because on the show, I guess she decided to let everyone know that she was openly gay. And there were markets where they didn't air that episode because they refused. It was, the Bible Belt was like, no, we don't do that. We don't believe that. We don't discuss that. And it was big news across the country that she was doing that, but more than that, it was big news that there were markets that were saying, no, we won't air that. Now, that was in 1997. That was 30 years ago. Now, today, you see almost on every television show someone who is gay. And not only do we see that they are gay, but we see the sexual relationship between the partners on television. That would have never happened just 30 years ago. So is that 30 years ago? 10? 20. My math is off. Sorry. I thought that was a long time. I was like, man, I graduated 30 years ago? Okay, yeah, sorry. Just 20 years ago. So just in 20 short years, things have changed dramatically in our culture. Now, Sports Illustrated came out with and celebrated Jason Collins, who was an athlete. And he was the first openly gay athlete playing a major team sport. And that sport was in the NBA. And I remember it was a huge issue then, but it wasn't so bad because now it's kind of a little more common. And there was an ESPN commentator, Chris Broussard, who explained the traditional Christian position on homosexuality on the air and that it was a sin and it was not God's plan. And the Christians, because he was a Christian, people ridiculed his claims. And then ESPN got on the air and felt compelled to apologize on behalf of Chris Broussard and his teaching. I mean, we just had Kim Burrell, who is a gospel singer, who had preached a message a while back about the sin of homosexuality, and people were up in arms. They stopped buying her music. They said, put her off the air. Who does she think she is? Now, mind you, just 20 years ago, we were completely standing up and saying, no, this isn't God's plan. This isn't God's will. Lou Giglio, who's the founder of the Passion Movement, was asked to withdraw from delivering President Obama's inaugural prayer because he had preached a sermon 15 years prior to that saying that he condemned homosexuality. So people started then going back and pulling up messages during the time when culturally we were saying homosexuality was a sin. And they were saying, you know what? No, you preach this. You don't believe in homosexuality. You don't believe in gay rights. Therefore, we don't want you to come to anything anymore. Christians are being assaulted because of their belief to stand up for what the Bible talks about. And so many people are saying, well, how can you say that is against God's plan if people are born this way? Because if you are born this way, then isn't it God's intent for you to be that way? And that's the issue that Christians have had to deal with. We have also taken this as Christians to the left. I mean, we have been in some cases so very mean and angry and vile to people because of their decisions to participate in same-sex relationships. And then on the other hand, we have been so loose and so open that we even marry people in the church. And I'm here to tell you that we don't want to fall on either side of that road. We don't believe, and I'm going to start this very clearly. We as a church, because somebody will probably pull this message up and write me all kinds of emails. I can't believe what you're preaching. Look, my job is to, just for those of y'all who are here today and those of you who may listen in the future, my job is to teach God's word. My job is not to teach popular cultural opinion. And so what I'm going to do today is teach God's word, hopefully in a way that you can see how God views this situation and how we then as Christians, little Christ-like ones, should also view this. But also, how are we then to love and care for those people that God are sending in our lives who are gay? Because that does happen. Now, what's interesting is I find it interesting that the numbers have been exploded in our community about the number of gay people. For instance, people have been surveyed, over 12,000 people were surveyed, and they felt in America that about 25% of Americans were gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. 25%. But in actuality, it turns out only 3% of our population is LGBT, you know, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or gay. 3%. Why is it that we feel it's such a larger amount? You know why? Because the people who believe that that is a safe and normal practice have voiced their concerns so much that it has begun to sway the popular opinion of the culture. Now, let me see if I can help y'all. We as Christians cannot go by what is popular. The popular folks killed Jesus. And then, you know, what's funny about the popular people and the popular vote, the week before they killed Jesus, they praised Jesus. It was like 5 days later, I'm told. So 5 days before, Hosanna, save us, you're amazing, King of Kings, you're awesome. They laying down palm branches for him. And 5 days later, crucify him, same crowd, crucify him. Popular opinion don't, I mean, come on people, we cannot move by that. That is why God has given us the word of God so that we know where the plumb line is. You know what a plumb line is? It is the point that is always straight and always right. That is our responsibility. And so it doesn't matter if we think it's okay. The question is are people born this way? Now, in doing some research, we start to ask questions such as, people say, well, I was born gay. And the question is that necessarily true? Does that mean there's a gay gene? Is there a gay gene? Well, what about the chemistry in the brain? There was a person who says, I was born gay. And when they say that, they mean I was born with the desires, sexual desires for a person of the same sex. I didn't consciously choose that desire. I didn't wake up in the morning and think, I want to be attracted to people of the same sex. They're just saying it just happened. In fact, they may have even been praying that they stop having those desires, and they couldn't stop having those desires. And so therefore, they're saying, since I naturally have those desires, I must have been born this way. But the problem with that is that we cannot scientifically prove that there is a gene inside of you that is determined in your DNA that will let us know if you're going to turn out being attracted to the same sex. Scientists have not proven that there is any such gene that exists. So there is nothing, but there may be predispositions such as if you were born in an alcoholic family and like For instance, I was born in an alcoholic family. My father was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. Studies and scientists and psychologists say you are going to be born with a propensity to alcoholism. Now, the question with that is that propensity happen because, check this out, because there's a gene of alcoholism that got passed down? No, they can't prove that either. Was that propensity happening because of environmental issues? That's been more proven to be the case. But the problem with that is you have people who grew up in alcoholic environments as children, but they don't turn out to be alcoholics. So that cannot be reproducible and exact either, right? So that means if I have parents who, or for whatever reason, have been exposed to same-sex relationships, that does not mean, come on somebody, that I'm going to have a propensity or a gene or going to come in my bloodline to be same-sex or be related to people who have same-sex or want to be in a relationship with them. So that theory and that issue scientifically cannot be proven. Let me explain to you why Christians need to understand science. Because scientists always try to explain away godly things. But the problem is, if you don't really understand science, you'll begin to understand you can't explain away godly things with science, because science proves godly stuff over and over and over again. Let me see if I can help you. Now, this is for those of y'all who get in these great discussions with people about scientific issues and they want to tell you all the quotes and all the words. I am a scientist by nature. So people who are scientists don't like to talk to me about godly stuff because it don't fall with me. Let me give you a sidebar to help you understand. Science, what makes science is that science is based on facts, reproducible evidence, and observations. Come on, somebody. And if I cannot observe something, if I cannot recreate it in that environment and produce the same results every time, then it is not a fact. Come on, somebody. So I cannot look at somebody's family. That is the reason why scientists cannot prove that there is a gene that says you are born gay. Because they cannot look at the evidence and look at and reproduce over and over and over again in a person with this DNA, a person with this DNA, that they can come back by fact with a person who is same sex. So you cannot talk to me and say you are absolutely positively born gay because you got a gene. There is no scientific evidence for that. Okay, let me see if I can help you. It's the same thing with the Big Bang Theory. Nobody was there to observe it. Nobody can reproduce it. So how in the heck did it become a fact? What it is a theory. It is a philosophical theory. Just like I come up with a philosophical theory on why your hair curly. Philosophically, it is because the humidity was so high, your hair shrunk. But it also can be reproducible, which therefore makes that a fact. Come on, y'all have to understand this, right? And so when we talk about things from a biblical perspective, when we talked about things, we as Christians cannot just say, oh, that's science, we have to believe by faith. No, 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 no. Science proves God over and over and over and over and over again. So don't shy away from science. As a matter of fact, run to it, because you're going to see God even more. Oh, okay, that's my sidebar. Chase that rabbit enough. Y'all ready? All right. So here we go. So the question then that we begin to ask is, if then we are born gay, which we're going to come back to in just a second, what's happening in our culture that's making this so acceptable? Is Christian morality changing? Not just world reality, but is our morality in the church changing? Because the church, in many cases, there are many, and I'm not just talking about certain denominations, I'm talking about across denominations, where we are marrying people of the same sex inside of our church. And we're saying, that's great. Now, let me say this. If there is a person in our church who is in a same-sex relationship or they identify as being transgender, we absolutely love you. We don't want you to leave. I don't see that any differently than a person who is sitting in the church who's living with a boyfriend and they having sex outside of marriage. Both of y'all wrong. But Jesus loves you, and we're going to keep on loving you and let God work in both of us. Just like it's no different than me lying. I'm going to prove this to you in scripture in just a second. But it's the same thing. So we as a Christians cannot magnify the issue so much that we beat the people up who have a sin. If we're going to magnify that issue of homosexuality, we might as well magnify our issue of lying. We might as well magnify our issue of cheating on our spouse. We might as well magnify our issue of talking about other folks, because they are all sin. So So what's the issue with Christian morality today? It's like a part of the problem is that we argue that Christians should then change our thinking on this issue. This is what people are saying. And some of y'all are getting trapped into the point where you don't even want to have a conversation no more because you're going to get bashed and beat up for being a Christian and for believing what you believe. It amazes me how many Christians shy away from tough conversations because they don't want to deal. Come on, somebody. They don't want to deal with the persecution that comes with standing up for Jesus. But my problem is if we don't stand up, how is anybody going to ever learn the truth? If all the Christians start backing down, there's absolutely no truth being taught anywhere in our society. So the issue that people start to begin to deal with, and they say to Christians, well, Christians, you need to fix the way that you think. You can't condemn a man for being born gay any more than you can condemn a man for being born with blonde hair or brown skin or green eyes. So how do you condemn that person? Well, the first thing is that we don't condemn people. Come on, somebody. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Let me explain to you why this is so important. We don't condemn people, but the Bible says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? This scripture says our responsibility is that we are going to judge the world. Now, that doesn't we don't judge believers. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, judgment does not mean that I don't tell you you're wrong. That's not judgment. Judgment means I can tell you you are not going to go to heaven or hell because you have not believed in Jesus Christ, theoretically. This is what this is saying, right? Or truthfully. So don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world? That doesn't mean we stand in condemnation of every person that comes in that's not saved. But what it does mean is we have to understand and know. We have to know where people are to be able to say, wait a second, this person's not going to be, they're not saved. And if we don't know if they're saved, we don't know how we're supposed to bring the gospel to them. We have a vision. Our new vision is real change now go. Our vision is to reach people in this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to create an atmosphere where people encounter God. We want to create an atmosphere where people are experiencing change. We want to serve in this church and we want to go and tell somebody about Jesus. But how do you go and tell somebody about Jesus if you can't judge if they're saved or not? Well, I'm just going to tell everybody about Jesus. That's great. But what if all the people you encounter are saved? You've done nothing. Yeah. Am I going off track? Look back at the scripture. The Bible says we're supposed to be judging the world. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the small matters? Which means we have to be able to judge things here on the earth. Now watch this. Go to the next verse. Verse 3. This is cool. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We have a responsibility to be looking at things and saying, that's of God, that is not of God. That's our job as Christians. Now, that does not mean that we don't say, well, you can never come to Jesus and you'll never be saved. Now, that's some foul stuff. And that's not biblical because people can change. So the issue that we're really dealing with is, how do we start dealing with this? How do we know? Can we without all doubt say that being born gay, you cannot be born gay? And then can we then in doubt say, what is God's viewpoint on it if we say you cannot be born gay? So what does the Bible have to say about this? This is where it gets fun. We get to judge all matters. I want you to look down, check this out, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look down at Romans chapter 1. What does the Bible have to say about this? Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 27. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 27 says this. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creator rather the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Now watch verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against, somebody read that next word for me, against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that people had got so full of themselves and so prideful that they decided to walk away from honoring God. And when they decided to walk away from honoring God, they gave themselves to unnatural lust that was in their heart. And the Bible was very clear that this unnatural lust was women who exchanged the natural use of their bodies with men, and they began to go with other women. And men who exchanged the natural use of their body with women began to lust for one another. The Bible was very clear. There is no other way in Scripture that you can say that God has made you in a way that it is natural for you to have desires or to follow through on those desires with someone of the same sex. Am I born this way? Wait a minute. That is not God's intent. God said it's unnatural. Some people are like, well, it's not unnatural. Well, let's just think about the science. Remember I said we got to talk about science. Let's think about science. If it's so natural, and if our original purposes were to what? Be fruitful and multiply. There is no possible way without the use. I don't care how you do this. I don't care how you structure this. I don't care how you make it work. You cannot make and multiply humanity and create more human beings between two people of the same sex. It is absolutely impossible. You say, well, I see people who are the same sex having babies all the time. No, you see people of the same sex donating. And you, come on, somebody. Donating their body and merging it with someone of the opposite sex in a tube. And then implanting it, I don't care who you are, ain't no man going to be able to carry no baby. Brothers are like, hallelujah, unless you're a seahorse. If you're a seahorse, the male species carries the baby. Some of y'all ought to say, praise God, we're not seahorses. Come on, somebody. There is no way. It is unnatural. It is impossible. And so it doesn't matter how we look at it. It is completely unnatural for people of the same sex to be together sexually. God made that very clear. But the question people have is, but my problem is I came out with these desires. Now, don't get mad and shake your head about people who have these desires. We come out with desires to cuss folks out. We come out. You ever seen kids just lie from the moment they're born? Who taught you that? They just came out like that. You ever seen kids who just had an attitude? I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if it's a male-female thing, but I done seen some little girls, not all little girls, but some little girls come out and they just already snapping and popping. They're two. I'm like, and their parents are just as sweet as punch. I'm saying, oh my gosh. How did you come out like that? Because you have a natural desire to go off on folks. Some of us, wait a minute now, we laugh. Some of us come out with some very unnatural desires. I mean, there are people who come out in the world and we don't know what has happened in their chemical makeup or in their mindset. And they come out and they are on killing sprees at young ages. How did this happen? You know why? Because when the fall happened, sin entered our bodies. And what we don't want to address is that this was never God's intention. But because of sin, what now was supposed to not ever happen to our bodies is now feeling very natural to us. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of discipline and correction will get it out. If you don't know what that means, come on, somebody. Every child is born with the propensity to do stupid stuff. And it is up to, come on, somebody, it is up to the parent to use the rod of discipline. Whatever your rod of discipline is. Mine was a belt. I don't use that no more. Yours might be timeout corner. Might be yo. I learned a new word. What's that? Chonkla. I learned a new word this week. Yo flip-flop. Yo shoe. I was like, a chonkla? the heck is that? It might be your chunkla. I don't care what it is. You got people are lifting up their chunklas in church. I'm pretty sure that it came off so quick because you were able to do that at home. Shh, boy. Shh, girl. Some of y'all got it with boomerangs action. And it come right back. Told you to listen. Come on. That is biblical. Now, some of y'all are mad at me. And you're like, oh, we're going to go to jail for something. You know what? I told my kids, if you tell somebody that I have beat you, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. Let them take you. I said, I will be sitting quietly in my jail cell praising the Lord because I have done what I was called to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we go abusive on them, but it's been a very long time since I have had to spank my children, which is the blessing. A lot of time. Anyway, we don't want to talk about that. That's a whole... Nobody asked that question. Nobody asked, shall we beat our children in church? Nobody asked that. So that's another conversation. But the reality of it is that we are born with these desires and they are not natural. And we are taught in our culture, if you have a desire for something, then it must be right. It's that if it makes you happy, then it cannot be bad mentality. Now, this is where we're going to move into stuff, not just about being born gay, but hopefully will help you deal with some of the desires that we have. I have a natural desire for cake. But it don't make it right to eat cake all day, every day. So desires, people say in our world, as long as nobody's being harmed by it, that is the definition of whether it's right or wrong. In our culture, it's okay for you to go and sleep with who you want to sleep with as long as nobody's getting hurt. Even if, watch this, even if that person's married. Because, you know, their wife ain't treating them right no way or their husband ain't doing them right no way. So they need to have someone love and support them like you. Y'all don't want to... Oh, we ain't memming when it's all about being homosexual. But when we want to start talking about sleeping around... But I have these desires. Everybody got desires. I've been a single woman for a long time. Everybody has desires. Just because you got a desire don't make it right to follow through on the desire. As a matter of fact, growing up in Christ, a part of what growing up in Christ is Christ helps you to learn to not be controlled by your flesh and your desires, because I don't follow my flesh, I follow Jesus. So I am therefore controlled by his desires for my life and what he wants for me more than I'm controlled by my own desires. So I want to make this clear. Y'all don't be sitting back bashing up on the people who are having desires for same-sex relationships. Start bashing up also on the people that's having 2 o'clock phone calls and making the run. Because the issue is that we all have these desires, and they might, and you don't even know some of them, you don't even know where they come from. Pastor, I don't know how it came. Sometimes the desires come because of experiences. Maybe you had a bad experience with someone. Or maybe the desires come because you watched something that was inappropriate and that created a desire. Maybe the desires come because you just thought about it. It doesn't matter how, when, or where the desires come. They are not of God. And just because we have them doesn't make them right. Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Now, this is very interesting. Because this is where we put them all together. Because y'all was like, I don't think this is true. I ain't never seen this before. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It says, or do you not know? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, we're talking about people who are living, not just saying, hey, I'm a Christian and I've made a mistake. We're talking about people who have decided that I'm going to follow my desires over God. Jesus is not Lord of my life. He's not. Now, let me make this very clear, because if you take an Operation Solid Lives level 2, you know there's a big difference between people who say I believe and people who've made Jesus Lord of their life. So there are people who believe in God and there are people who believe in Jesus, but he is not Lord. To be Lord means he is my owner, my master, my controller, my decision maker. So my desire is to follow him. I have chosen to say I follow him. So I don't want you to think that I can be saved and not have, if you saved and you end up If you have made Jesus Lord of your life and you made a mistake by fornicating, and I don't need to explain that, or, you know, other stuff on the list, then that's the power of the forgiveness. You ask God to forgive you, you move on, but you acknowledge it's a sin. We're talking about people who do these things and they have not acknowledged that what they're doing is even wrong. Okay? So the Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now check this out. Don't be deceived, Christians. Don't be sitting here slipping with this. Neither. Now this is where we got to look at all of them. Fornicators. That's people who fool around sexually. Nor idolaters. That's people who make anything other than Jesus Lord of their life. They following money. They're following people. That's idolatry. Nor adulterers. That's people who, come on somebody. So some of y'all better sit up here and go check. Jesus, are you Lord? Because this list might include me. Nor adulterers. Now, let me explain adultery. Adultery is not just the physical act, but some people are flirting with. I'm not talking about a casual, oh, you look good today. I'm talking about they are emotionally having adulterous affairs with other people. That's dangerous. Nor homosexuals. Nor sodomites. Y'all need to look that up because I ain't going to stand here and explain that. Nor thieves. Folks who steal all the time. Nor covetous. People who are looking and wanting what other folks have. Nor drunkards. So don't be looking at homosexuals and you talk about, oh, they are, well, it's all wrong and you sloppy drunk. Nor revilers. That's kind of like your partiers and then they all kind of agitate situations. You ever know people who just agitate everything? Drama everywhere they go. Nor extortioners. People who try to manipulate and take stuff from other folks. All of them lumped together. None of those folks will inherit the kingdom of God. So it is all those desires. It is any desire that is against the will of God. That God is against. And we have to check ourselves. I hope some of y'all have went through that list and made some check marks and said, oh, Jesus, I must confess. Don't be looking at me crazy. Because it's always easier to point out somebody else's sin than it is to take a look at myself and say, wait, I'm a believer, but I'm still excessively drinking. Pastor, Jesus drunk wine? That, nobody asked that question either. Under skeptics. It's a whole other issue. But the Bible very clearly says you can't be a drunkard. Uh-oh. I see wheels turning right now. Well, hold up. Once again, another day, another time. Watch this. This list is not the only place in Scripture that homosexuality is mentioned or condemned, but there are several places in the Old Testament, several places in the New Testament where we talk about this and we see this as being against God's plan. Jeremiah 17:9 helps us to kind of get this whole concept down. Jeremiah 17:9 says this. Watch this. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick or wicked. Who can know it? You cannot follow your heart because based on Scripture, your heart is deceitful above all things and it is desperately wicked. Your heart is that place where your mind, will, and emotions dwell. Let me help us. You're going to have some desires that are against God. But you have to make sure you're not following your heart. This is why the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, watch what's happening with your heart. People say, Pastor, why don't you watch rated R movies? You know why I don't watch rated R movies? Because I'm trying to guard my heart. Well, Pastor, I don't see anything wrong with it. Good for you. You protect your heart the way you need to, but I have to protect my heart. Pastor Jerry Dierman says this, and it's so powerful. He says, you know what? I would rather be extreme in some of these measures and be holy and be clean. Come on, somebody. And free and not in bondage to situations and not in bondage to my desires than to be on the other side of things where I allow stuff to happen and I'm walking in bondage. So I'm a little extreme in my own life. That does not mean that it's legalistic and everybody has to do what I do. It's between you and the Holy Spirit. But this is why you need to learn to hear the voice of God. Because if you don't learn to hear the voice of God and you're following that inner voice may not be the Holy Spirit. And it's going to, I'm going to tell you when that inner voice speaks the loudest. When you get to do, and you have an opportunity to do what you want to do. That voice will tell you all kinds of reasons why you need to go after that thing. Ain't nobody, I'm here by myself. You know I like cake. I love cake. But God is changing my desires. I love strawberries now and cherries on top of cake. But when the cake is sitting right there before me, my heart says, you have worked hard this week. You've done planks. You can plank for 3 minutes. That 3 minute plank had to be enough calories to let you have a sliver of that piece of cake. You have burned 800 calories in one workout. That is enough to get a slice of cake. Them kids got on your nerves this week. You deserve cake. You've been sitting at baseball games all day. The least you can do is have a slice of cake. And you know what? I let my heart talk me into cake. I have totally let go of what God has said. I have not gotten hurt. You know, God is very clear that everything is permissible for me, but not everything's beneficial. God says it's not that you can't have cake, it's that you've got to stop having cake every day. It's not beneficial for you. Watch this. And I go through this house. We all do it. And we let our hearts talk us into what we already want to do. Let me put it into sexual desires. It's easy to be celibate when ain't nobody there. I've been celibate for 20 years because ain't nobody been interested in you. It's easy to be celibate when somebody you don't like come up to you. Celibacy intact. Because your desire don't start jumping for that. I'm talking about same sex, opposite sex, no sex, whatever sex. It don't matter. Watch this. So if I'm heterosexual and a woman hits on me, nothing jumps. If I'm homosexual, or if not, and I hate to define myself by terms like that because I'm being defined by my action, which is not who God says I am. But if I have identified that way and someone comes up to me of the same sex, even if they're not attracted to me, if I'm not attracted to them, nothing jumps. That ain't no different than you. Come on, somebody. Snaggletooth, rolling on a bicycle. Ain't got no job. I don't care. 2 feet two and you 5'10", 5'20", whatever how tall you are, that just don't move your boat. But let the right something come your way. So where your heart was then teaching and speaking to you then the word of God. When the right thing walks by, your heart stops. Look, your heart stops quoting scripture. When the right thing, I don't care if it's same sex, opposite sex, whatever it is, your heart starts, it loses its mind. Your heart, if you are married and you ain't got nobody that's interested, ain't nobody hit on you in 20 years but your spouse, you can stay just as committed. But the minute somebody start talking sweet to you, let them be halfway nice and decent, then your heart starts telling you everything your spouse ain't doing. Before your spouse was great because you ain't had nobody but your spouse. Don't let them be younger and attractive. Then you start feeling like, yeah, they don't appreciate me and I kept myself together all these years. Look at them. Look at my spouse. What am I telling you? You cannot trust your lion heart. Eddie Murphy said this. Don't trust your lying eyes. What did he say? He comes home, his girlfriend caught him cheating with another woman, and he tells the woman, his girlfriend, he says, who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes? And she'll go, well, maybe you're right. I didn't really see that. Come on, you ever had people? Come on, this is my last point. I'm making a point. You ever had people who just intellectually, you know, they know that this is not right? It's like every Jerry Springer, Maury Povich, they're all based on this. Like intellectually, there's a girl. She's with a guy. She says, I love him. He loves me. He has been proven through lie detector tests to have cheated on you multiple times. And she's paying his car note. She sees and hears the lie detector test. Come on, intellect is gone. And you know what she says? But he treats me so nicely. I still love him. They don't leave. You know why? Because they follow in their lying heart. Look, people, are you born gay? The answer biblically is no. But we do have these desires. And the catch with our desires is we cannot start operating by our desires. Our hearts will lie to us. Guard them. We have to learn to separate our heart's desires from the Word of God. That is why reading your Bible is so important. That is why programs and classes like Operation Solid Lives, where you learn to hear God's voice and you learn to distinguish the voice of God from your own lion heart, becomes so important. I, as a pastor, still to this day, have to say, God, is this me or is this you? Because sometimes the voices are so close to each other, I don't know which one is which. And if I haven't learned how to hear and know the difference and distinguish certain things that say this is absolutely God, I will be in trouble. So what do I want you to do with this message? I don't want you to go home and beat up anybody who has or is walking in sexual sin. I want us to see that those people who are lesbian, bisexual, we haven't dealt with the transgender issue. Transgender is a choice, by the way. I'm choosing to be of the opposite sex, which therefore means that it cannot be natural because you made a choice. So that helps you to kind of see that that's not of God either. Doesn't matter. We love them. How do we love them? You know what? Every time I see them, I don't throw up. You sinning. You going to hell. You can't do that. How do I love them? I love them like I love everybody else. I'm there for them. I encourage them. Tell them that God has made them unique and special. God has a plan for them. And I have seen, and it has happened in my life, where there have been people who were homosexual who came to me, and we loved them and loved them and loved them right out of that sin. Just like they people loved me and loved me and loved me right out of my sin. That means I'm not beating you up. I'm encouraging you. And that doesn't mean that every time I see you, I tell you about your sin either. Because if every time you see somebody and they tell you about your sin, you won't be around them. I love this church so much because the people come to this church and then maybe they, you know, for whatever reason, have chosen to go back and do things that maybe are not pleasing to God. And they'll come back almost with a sense of shame. And I'm like, why? Come on, let me love you. Give me a hug. I'm so glad you're here. You know why? Because that's how God treats me. The prodigal son, the father was there with arms open wide, waiting every day for them to show back up. That's how we should be. Somebody say amen. All right, give the Lord a hand praise.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, senior pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.